Dear friends, God is dead. How's that for a headline? Did it get your attention? Stories told of a shepherd, true story, in Palestine that gathered his sheep and took them into a sheep pen for the night. The shepherd went asleep, and after a couple of hours of sleep was awakened by commotion. It caused the shepherd to stand up and be quite alert. He discovered that a wolf had entered the sheep pen, was dragging the sheep out of the sheep pen. The shepherd went to work, hit the wolf. The wolf fought back, bit the shepherd. The shepherd then shooed the wolf away. Story goes on. The shepherd picked up the sheep that was wounded, bandaged the wounds. The shepherd stayed with the sheep to keep it calm, to warm it, and the two went to bed together, sheep in the shepherd's arms. Shockingly, the next morning, the shepherd was found dead. Sheep was alive, protected by the body of the shepherd. Strange story. We don't hear stories like that. Usually we hear stories about how the sheep is killed by the wolf and the shepherd walks away free. But tonight you know that story because that's the story of Good Friday. Wolves were after Jesus from the very beginning. In Bethlehem, Herod declared that all the baby boys should be killed. Wolves were after Jesus on the cliffs of Nazareth, where the people wanted to throw him down the cliffs and had him stoned to death. Wolves were after him in the wilderness, and they never got to him, except on this night they got to him. God is dead. Now, when I say that, doesn't that sound strange? You don't like me saying that, probably. There's a reason why, by the way. That is because that phrase, God is dead, comes from a certain person. His name was Friedrich Nietzsche, a German philosopher in the 19th century. Friedrich Nietzsche thought that traditional religion and moral teaching had been passed by the age of enlightenment, that human beings had passed by the time of religion. This is in the 19th century. Nietzsche was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. Now, that's why you frown when I say that. But you see, I don't agree with Nietzsche's definition of God as dead. I'm literally saying tonight that God literally was alive and God died. God was dead on the cross. Friends, that was the plan from the very beginning, actually. Isaiah had prophesied 8 centuries before Jesus, saying, well, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Then Jesus came, fulfilling that prophecy. Jesus knew the plan. He talked about it in Matthew chapter 16. He knew that he would ultimately die when he made it to Jerusalem. He told his disciples that he would be inflicted with pain and all sorts of difficulty by the leaders. It was no surprise. You see, tonight is the fulfillment of that story that I just shared with you about the shepherd. It's why we're saved. Jesus died, we live. The shepherd is bloodied and dies. The sheep live and walk away free. Dear friends, sin is a wolf. It's hunting you down. Don't be deceived. Sin is a wolf hunting you down, looking for a moment of opportunity, a moment to pounce, a moment to put us down, a moment to capture us and ultimately kill us. Now, we can come up with a whole bunch of strategies to kind of talk around sin, strategies to avoid sin. Here's some of them. One way is to project sin. In other words, blame somebody else. Ever done that? Blame someone. Blame anyone. Blame everything, just not ourselves. Blame the government. Blame the system. Just don't blame ourselves. Project it on everyone else. Another strategy to deal with sin is essentially to compare. Ever done that before? Well, what I did wasn't as bad as what she did down the street. Or what I said wasn't as bad as what my sister said last Christmas. Well, I'm a saint compared to that person. They're a sinner. Or another way we deal with, people get paid to give these strategies. Another way that we another strategy to talk about sin is to rationalize it. It wasn't that big of a deal. Or no one got hurt. Or let's just move on. Nobody saw it. Another strategy is to stuff it. Stuff it down deep. Deny. Pretend like it never happened. Another strategy is distraction. Just be busy in life. Go from event to event. And then when you're so busy, you don't have to think about anything of depth. You just move on from event to event. Or there's the strategy of evasion, which is take a pill, have a drink, pick up an addiction. Sin is a wolf. It's on the prowl. It's hunting. Hunting you down. Hunting me down. None of those strategies work. There is one strategy, though, that does work, and that is this. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Be washed in the Shepherd's blood. You are held in His arms. He dies so that you live. That's tonight's message. That's the message of Good Friday. Let's pause for a moment and think about the death of Jesus Christ. Can you put it up, Dan? Our painting? The death of and crucifixion of Jesus. First of all, He was flogged. We know that. What happened in a flogging was that the beating would break into the body so deep that even the muscles that were close to the skeleton were broken apart. The next thing that happened to Jesus was that He was whipped. The Romans used whips that were extra long, made of leather, and on the tips of the leather were metal piercings that would break through the skin. What we know of Jesus is that He likely received those bashes from the top of His head to the back of His legs. Then the Romans took Jesus and placed Him onto a wooden cross and pierced His arms and His feet with tapered spikes. Then they put Him up on a cross. And when He hung on the cross, the first thing that happened was His body was 6 inches below where His wrists were. That caused the dislocation of His shoulders. Next came the dislocation of His wrists. The way His body was positioned, it affected His diaphragm, and He could only inhale. There was no ability to exhale. So He used His feet to push up so that He could grab some kind of air and oxygen for His body. But by doing that, He crushed the nerves in His feet from the piercing in His feet. Then came respiratory acidosis. Then came an irregular heartbeat. Then Jesus knew the end was coming. And He said, "It is finished." Probably His death was from cardiac arrest. God is dead. Shepherd dies. Peter Paul Rubens painted this painting. It's the descent from the cross of Jesus Christ in the 17th century. Peter Paul Rubens was Catholic in background. What do you notice in the painting? I'll just show you a couple things. You can go home and Google it. amazing painting. The background is darkness. We know the day was dark. The foreground, where Jesus is light, that's the focus of the painting. It's Jesus. His body is limp. His arms just dangling. He's dead. There's some other details. The women. Let me point them out. The bottom left, that's Mary, his mother. She's in blue. She's oftentimes painted in blue. Why? The blue is the color for sorrow and grief. You'll see her in the bottom left. Then there's a woman holding the feet of Jesus. That is a pointer by Peter Paul Rubens that's Mary, the sister of Lazarus, the sister of Martha. Why holding the feet? She was the one that put the perfume on Jesus. John chapter 12. There's another Mary, that's Mary Magdalene. She's off on the left-hand side as well. She's got tears coming from her eyes. She's crushed. That was her Savior. On the right-hand side, a couple of people to note, Nicodemus. He's the one who said, Jesus said in conversation, John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That was in a private conversation with Nicodemus. He's in dark clothing. He approached Jesus at night. Peter Paul Rubens put him in dark. Then there's one person I want to note in the painting that you might not catch. The one in the red. Who is that? That's John the disciple. That's John the evangelist of the Gospels. That's John the beloved disciple that Jesus gave his mother to at his death. But why red? Blood is pouring out Jesus, and it's hitting John the disciple. He's covered in the blood of the shepherd. Dear friends, so are you. His blood covers your sin. You are forgiven. The shepherd dies, but the sheep lives. God dies, but see, tonight on Good Friday, you live. As you have your nail tonight, hold it tight. Not so much this year, let's think about a sin. We oftentimes do that here at Peace. But as you place it into the cross, think about how his blood, you're washed in his blood. It covers you completely, and life is yours. Let's pray about that tonight. Lord, we thank you for the picture that you've given to us, detailed in the Gospels, but then through people like Peter Paul Rubens, a pretty realistic depiction of what happened when your son came off the cross. Lord, help us to see that his blood that was shed was for us, that his death is a direct result of the life that we have today and the life that we will have tomorrow. Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. So thankful for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.